are not those of Eagle FM in any
the
of early
birds staff. Catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the early morning that we look at affairs of business, economics, politics, public policy, and everything that, affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from the number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM Namibia, from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. And wherever you are, we always like giving you a positive motivation every morning to say stand up and focus on the game. We know things are not easy, but that is life. Things were never supposed to be easy. And, do not pray for a good life. Pray for strength so that you can navigate through. That is what is called life. And make sure that on your journey to the top, make sure that you assist others. Assist others and understand that we are still standing to the principle of Ubuntu, to say you are who you are. Don't say me, myself, I did this, I did that. You are who you are because of other people. You are who you are because of other people have sacrificed so that you can be who you are. Maybe indicator, some died for your country to have freedom. Some have sold, their cattle so that you can go to university. Some have sacrificed their youth just to assist you, see you growing. Some parents did not choose entertainment, but choose parenting you so that you can become that kid. But you are the product of the community, whatever stage of life you are. That is why, do not isolate yourself and say, you. So it's always very important to prescribe to that philosophy of Ubuntu, especially every morning, to say, what can I do? And how can I work with people to achieve what I want? And what is that good intention I have for my country? Are you a good Namibian citizen? Are you a troublemaker? Or you are what Namibia wants, especially this time where we need to build a lot of things. We need to maintain peace and stability. We need to build the economy, and we also need a long-term strategic plan on, not only plan actually, but execution, mechanism, particularly regarding how we are going to deal with the price of oil and also other eventualities that are not within our real total control, but there is always something that, we can do. And today, from the hour of 7 there, we'll be speaking with Rinekela Mtuma, especially looking at the content of project management. If Tate Katusha is indicating to say, why do you give a tender to somebody who doesn't have capacity to build? I think the other phrase should also be, why do you give a tender to somebody who has no skills of project management? How is he going to achieve that intended goal? And we can also go and say, why do you give resources to somebody who does not have a strong monitoring and evaluation, content or strong monitoring and evaluation skills? Because at the end of the day, resources of the country that are intended for national development must be able to be accounted for. So before we look at what we have, the good news, the news that we are looking into, especially looking at the war in the Middle East. It was stated that yesterday the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, has indicated that they had a very good talk with Tehran, and he also suspended 5 days of bombing, especially when he wanted to bomb the energy infrastructure. It indicated that there is a possibility for the talk. But on the other side, Iran is indicating that, those are fake news. Then the question is also that who did Trump speaking to? But those are the words of diplomacy. Diplomacy, sometimes they operate in the shadow, especially in the time of conflict. Maybe there is talk to say, guys, let us stop killing each other. Let us stop, you know, blocking the global economy. It will take us 100 years to rebuild. It will also take us, years. Or we are not even going to come from this. Because, you know, may also be the end of strength of a strong army. Because in terms of bombing of targets, it's thousands of targets which are bombed in Iran. Thousands bombed in Israel and also the neighbors. And the next phase was shutting down the region. Shutting down the region in terms of energy. And Iran was saying, if you shoot my energy infrastructure for civilians, I also make everything dark. We are going back to use of camels and being in a desert. And the next phase would be ground force, and that would determine the power of the battleground. But you look at how this war would end. There would be no win, because it's already started eating the economy of the world. But it's quite important also to look at different factors to say, what can you learn from this war? Because there must always be a lesson to learn, especially when conflicts start. And it's always a saying to say, don't just be in the sideline. Don't just be in the sideline. But, you know, when other people are going down, you must learn a lesson, because you are not immune to anything. When other people are going down, you must learn a lesson to say, what caused this conflict? Is it real power? Is it political contestation? Is it hatred? Is it ego? Is it the economy? If it's the economy, what kind of the economy? Is it oil? If it's oil, okay, how did other people manage? And also, when you get into that context, you will be able to understand what need to be done, especially in maintaining of peace and stability. And also know that people, they change, particularly in terms of politics. Political relations change, and always ask yourself a question, what will happen when we wake up one day and those countries who we said are our friends, they say they don't want to talk to us anymore, or they found a new partner? What you do? What would you do? Because if you look at the war in Iran and Iraq, I mean in Iran and, you know, Israel, you'll be able to remember that in the 80s, Iraq was a good friend of USA, and they were fighting Iran for almost 8 years. But things have changed to the point where Iraq become the worst enemy of US, and to the point that they've captured and killed Saddam Hussein. Now things have changed again, especially to come to this situation. Let us listen to the president of the free world, that is Donald Trump, and whatever he say, you know, the world react, either it's bad or good, because it's undeniable, he's holding still the strongest country by far in terms of economy. Military power is now contested to say, is it really strong or just have equipment? But that is still to be debated. Let us listen especially to what he has to say regarding the war and also the negotiation.
Iran, the foreign ministry of Iran has countered that claim of Donald Trump. It's a war of versions now on Middle East. Trump says productive talks, in-depth talks with Iran, but the Iranian foreign ministry has cleared the air. The Iranian foreign ministry says no talks with Washington, and it has also accused Trump of buying time while regional de-escalation efforts go on. So, one, Iran acknowledges regional de-escalation efforts are underway, and most importantly, it counters what Donald Trump is claiming. The foreign ministry of Iran says there are no talks with Washington. In fact, they believe that Donald Trump is only buying time. after issuing a 48-hour ultimatum to Iran. Remember what Donald Trump said, open the Strait of Hormuz, otherwise be ready to face repercussions. 48-hour deadline ultimatum.
The U.S. President Donald Trump said Monday that the country was talking with the top and respected Iranian leader and claimed the Islamic Republic was eager for a deal to end the war. He also extended a deadline for Iran to reopen the crucial Strait of Hormuz or face attacks on its power plants, saying it has an additional 5 days.
So we've had very strong talks. Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner had them. They went, I would say, perfectly. I would say that if they carry through with that, it'll end that problem, that conflict, and I think it'll end it very, very substantially.
Trump further told reporters that Iran wanted to make a deal and claimed U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner had held talks with an Iranian leader on Sunday.
So the discussions took place yesterday. They went into yesterday evening. They want very much to make a deal. We'd like to make a deal, too. We're going to get together today by probably phone, because it's very hard to find a country. It's very hard for them to get out, I guess.
Iranian state media cited Iranian officials as denying any such talks and said Trump had backed down following Iran's firm warning. However, Trump did not mention who represented Iran.
A top person, don't forget, we've wiped out the leadership phase one, phase two, and largely phase three. But we're dealing with the man who I believe is the most respected and the leader. You know, it's a little tough. We've wiped out everybody.
Trump's turnaround, which held out the possibility of resolving the war now in his fourth week, served to drive down oil prices and jolt stocks. Meanwhile, oil prices sank around 10% on Monday after Trump suddenly ordered a halt to strike on Iranian energy infrastructure.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially looking at the Middle East. And the question is, who did you talk to? The spokesperson of the government of Iran is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and he's saying there are no talks. Who did you talk to? If you wipe out the top leadership, and the only guys that you left are non-negotiator. And when you speak about hardliners, the new generals who took over, they come hit the ground running. They come releasing even the limit of the range of weapons that have been there. Because when you deal with a hardliner, somebody who diplomacy is the last thing that you must think about. Because when they came on the ground, they hit the ground running, and maybe it's what it is. Maybe it's what it is, or it's another tactic of claiming. Because when last year, in the 12th day war, what have happened is that when the U.S. was asked of getting involved, Trump said he's going to think about it, but when people wake up, the bugger buster has already bombed, the nuclear site. It can be a tactic of regrouping. It can be a tactic of surprise attack or buying some time. That's why it's also bring a lot of paranoia, especially to those who negotiate. But it's what it is. It's what it is. And moving forward, they stated that Starlink suffered a new setback as Namibia rejects a license. You know, the company of the richest man in the world, the company of the richest guy in the world, Mr. Big Money, Elon Musk, has suffered another defeat in Namibia. So in Namibia, you don't just come in like that. It was stated that Namibia said on Monday it has rejected the request from a billionaire, Elon Musk, Starlink, to operate the satellite internet service in the country, dealing with the company, the second setback in Southern Africa. You know, Starlink applied for a license through its local unit, Starlink Internet Service, Namibia Pty Limited, the Communication Regulatory Authority, said in the Government Gazette. You know, Starlink proved high-speed internet access to remote location around the world and via thousands of low Earth and orbit satellites. However, the regulator gave no explanation for their refusal, saying it's only that the full reason for the decision can be requested from the authority. And, you know, this is Namibia for you. Whether there is more money, no money. Standing on that ground to say, it's actually a good thing to look at the principle, to look at why. It's a good thing to look at why. It's not a good thing to reject, but it's a good thing to look at why. And also to say, are there any regulations that the company also did not follow? If there are regulations that did not follow, why can't it operate as other companies are operating? And it's also a good standard that Namibia is setting, because what you have seen is that there have been a lot of issues of special treatment, especially if somebody has a name. Say, no, that is David, guys, give the seat to David, even if David is not following all the rules. And I think it's also setting a good standard to say why it was rejected. Why it was rejected, and did it comply with what was required? Or it's just because it's a company of the biggest guy in the world. But it's quite interesting to know why. Because, you know, it's in a lot of country. It's fast internet. Are there disadvantages also within that fast internet? To look at that. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll continue with the news for today. And remember, today we'll answer that question: why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Looking at the aspect of project management to say what is the necessity of project management. Also to say why a medical doctor need project management skills. Why a lawyer need the project management skills? Why, you know, a nurse need the skills of project management? Why project management is, you know, extended beyond the technical skills? And we get it from there. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile komberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and NFL.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the early morning scoop. Yeah, it was indicated that looking at Kenya Airway, Kenya Airway see surge in demand as Middle East conflict disrupt global travel. To say when it comes to the business of airways, come to the business of, you know, aviation, be able to realize that, you know, it's not only Namibia. It's going through a lot, but a lot is going through a lot of airlines. Yesterday we were just looking at DRC, where it's saying the president has instructed the prime minister to get the aviation sector in order, particularly DRC Airway, due to unprofitability of the airline, and also challenges of finance. And looking at Kenya Airway, is to say they are struggling. They are still struggling, particularly looking at the halting of, you know, Middle East flights. And that is what is happening, especially on that ground of Kenya. However, also be able to look at the richest man in Africa, Aliko Dangote. It was stated that the Dangote refinery says it begin fuel export in Africa. Indicated that, you know, while situation get tough, Aliko Dangote is here to save you. Nigerian Dangote mega refinery say it has begun export fuel to other African countries after global oil price, has increased due to the Middle East war. Say the richest guy. So, our Uncle Sam to come and assist us, especially in time of trouble. Then the question is that, are we not going to get some of our oil from there? Because Nigeria continue to be a very good friend. And I have seen the big man, Obasanjo, Olusegun, was here. And maybe part of the discussion, I know he does not have power now. But, a person with political power and influence can always advise, especially when it comes to the direction, because the 3-week long war in the Middle East has disrupted oil deliveries throughout the key Strait of Hormuz, forcing countries to take measures to limit impact of the price of oil. However, Dangote refinery, which is owned by Africa richest man Aliko Dangote, announced that it has sold 12 cargoes totaling of 456,000 tons to countries such as Ivory Coast, Cameroon, Tanzania, Ghana, and Togo. And the refinery on East Economic Capital of Lagos has a capacity of 650,000 barrels per day, enabling it to not only meet but exceed Nigeria's domestic fuel demand. And that is so beautiful. So beautiful to look at that, to say. Dangote is saying the gap of Strait of Hormuz, although it's big, you'll be able to feel that. The question that we should always ask is that, will we budge an inch to try and also look at the supply from the continent of Africa, or we are just going to deal with what we have? Let us assume that 3 months is coming to an end of our reserve, and 3 months is prediction. It's also an aspect of panic buying. If 3 months come to an end, because we only have 2 months now of utilizing that in our reserve, if situation continue like this, what is our alternative? Because the debate about Gungura, I know that the Sagaria gave an instruction to say anybody who is in that board with the Kandini is going to be dealt with the full arm of the law. But if we are not entering Gungura, why can't we work with Nigeria? If we are able to send our first shipment in Nigeria for African Continental Free Trade Area, why can't we have a breakthrough in this regard, especially when it comes to oil utilization? Because Dangote said, I got you, I got this, I know situation is very difficult, but I got this. That's why if somebody said, I got this, it means that he has your back. And that is what is happening. Look at the capacity. Look at the refinery. And a lot of economists, Kanjoka and Kwanyoka, they spoke more on investing in local refinery. They spoke more on investing in something which is sustainable. To say in the time of need, what will happen in the time of need, what will happen, especially when it comes to the utilization of oil and gas. Yeah, well, we are there. This also, you know, stated that in Kenya, there is flood in Kenya that have cost the lives of at least 81, have killed at least 81 and displaced thousands. To say territorial rains, torrential rains and fresh flood have killed 81 people across Kenya this month, and that was stated by the authority. And looking at the scientist and also climate change activist, they'll be able to find the proof to say, this is the impact of damage in climate environment. This is the impact of war, or those who release poisonous gases in the air that have caused unpredictability in the weather pattern in Africa. Or is this just an accident? Because when you look at what's happening in Africa, when you look at what happened at the end of December and early January, especially in South Africa and also Mozambique and Zimbabwe, you able to realize that flood continue to intensify in that area, especially those in the early month of 2026. But although now it's handled, but looking at Kenya, looking at the destruction that the flood has caused, one will also be able to ask to say, is Africa suffering the consequences of those who only speak about Paris Agreement? But when it comes to the fight of war, they are the one to send ship and also jet fighters to pollute the air and also cause devastating human destruction that can also change the global pattern of rainfall. Good morning.
Yes, Chombe.
Yes, how are you?
What are you?
I'm okay. How are things?
Better.
Better, ne?
It's going well.
Okay, what is
we are winning.
We are winning. Who are you? Are you the
Iran,
Revolutionary
Iran,
Guard?
Iran. Yeah, the IRGC.
Or the Basij.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
What I wanted the first to commend is to actually commend the Namibian government.
Yeah.
Together with CRAN.
Hmm.
To completely reject those psychopaths.
No.
Those are not people. They are not good people. You should understand that all those regime change that has been undertaken there, the most important tools that has been used is Starlink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Venezuela, and also if you remember the first uprising on the 28th December in Iraq.
Mm.
When they crashed the financial system of Iraq to devalue the thing so that they cannot get a reserve currency.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Starlink network that was used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right now they placed it in, also in Slovakia, and then also, you know, the president of, the prime minister of Slovakia does not want this kind of, regime change. He does not support these war things.
Mm-hmm.
And then also for Hungary. Now, mm-hmm. Hungary is about to have elections starting on this month.
Yeah.
They have already started. Yeah, it's just not a good company. And I think it's about time we Namibians can come up with a law that compels these foreign companies to pay these social media companies, especially the Facebooks, the WhatsApp, so on. Because they do pay in some other countries like in Europe, but here they just make money and go. Yeah. We should never accept this Starlink. It's a problem. These are tools that are used to unseat government, regime change and all those things. They are not good to censor government officials and all those things. They are not good. We cannot accept the businesses that is actually being used to get involved in our political affairs.
And also with different opinion too regarding where we want to get into.
Of course. Yeah. They will censor on you, censor you, and at the end of the day, they will get involved in your political affairs. They'll come up with their law. They will get involved.
Did South Africa accept?
No, they didn't.
Why did they not? They did not accept their own son.
He's not a pessimist. That I don't even like that person personally. You know that is when they start cooking up these fake stories of genocide, of white genocide, and all that. You know, yeah, that was the reason when he got rejected, because what the South African said is that look, we have to get 50% of the PEG there.
Yeah.
If you want to make use of our space or something like that, then he refused most. That's when he get angry, and then he come up with those two. So what they actually wanted in South Africa is, I think maybe it's the regime change or something like that, or somehow invite the government of South Africa. These are not good people. And you know what is killing them right now, like
Mr. President
himself. They don't know anything like diplomacy. They don't know anything like that. For them is
bulldozer.
Yeah, you see, even right now, Trump is actually just giving ultimatums. Yeah, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. He is defeated. He wants to talk, and yet he's giving ultimatum. How can I talk to you like that?
And I think the Iranians they master diplomacy very well, and they have won the public narrative too, especially coming into that war. And most of these guys they studied in the Western universities. They understand their whole system very well.
Yeah, propagandas. You see, everything of them is just propaganda. Those guys, I've also followed these guys, and I really find out that these are bad people, really bad people.
Now, I want us to get ahead, especially with African countries, to say what happened in Libya, what happened in Iraq, what is happening in Iran, Venezuela, to say, we have been asking questions. I think it's not the first time I'm asking you to say, what lesson can we learn from there? Especially looking at the nature of how things are changing, and also looking at the way we deal with other countries on international grounds. When we say this thing is a win-win situation, when we say these things are trading partners, what cautious measure do we need to put into? Particularly if you just have to be frank enough to say.
Is that now in terms of
relations?
I mean, relations. I think, you know, we must consider our countries, African countries, the global south, as a disadvantaged previously countries. You know, when they started colonizing us, we did not have a chance to go to schools and so those things.
Yeah.
They took everything for us. They put policies or system in place in order for them to colonize us. But right now, I think the time has come. You know, you don't do things if you don't have security. And that security that will enable you to do things on your own, to be free and to have sovereignty, is within BRICS. You join BRICS, and that is the reason, that is one of the reasons that Iran is winning there, because Iran is not alone. Mm-hmm. Iran is with China and Russia. You must understand that Iran's defense thingy is connected to the EU. The EU is a version of GPR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then their air defense is also connected to that of China and that of Russia. And that's why they have
and the people are very
position.
Yeah, people are very shocked.
Yeah,
are very shocked. You know, in history of war, F-35 was never shot down. It was known as the king of the sky, but now engineering has changed.
It's gone down. It's gone down. Obviously, it's gone down. Yeah, and you know, even this the war fleet, this of the warship carriers or whatever the air carrier, they have fled the war thing. They ran away. Yeah, they ran away.
And there's a lot of things. I think even the aspect of long range ballistic missiles. I think there's a lot of surprises that Iran has also, which is quite going to be dangerous also.
Yeah, they do, but the one for Diego Casillas, it seems like it's not them that tunnel. I think the Americans, or they want a false flag, because what they actually want is for European countries to get involved, but they are afraid. But British, the British are using one of their pilots. I think, you know, the Americans have got no more capabilities within the Middle East is to launch
rockets, what?
Yeah, to launch the rocket, the launching places whereby their plane have to, because, you know, they have to be loaded most.
You have to fuel
they
them,
have
yeah.
To refuel to them, yeah. That they are now, most of them are coming from Britain.
Uh-huh.
Because there was one of the guys who was actually, how do they call themselves? Media or something like that. That guy, he was on the ladder with the cameras taking pictures and videos of the Americans plane. As to how they load their fighter jet and so on to go and invite, and it's clear. So they are involved.
Mm-hmm.
They are involved. They just don't want the other people to know that they are involved.
Now, do you think it's going to end well when Trump wants to speak? Is it going to end if he is the one who is saying he wants to speak? And we can sense that everybody is also tired.
The victors. You know what the Iranians has to do, and I think that is the policy that they have taken.
Yeah.
It's just to strangle the American economies by holding them by throat on by the Strait of Hormuz. You know Trump end up lifting the sanctions of the Russian oils and that of the Iranian oils.
How is that going to benefit the U.S.?
No, they are just trying to have a bit of they are trying to keep the price of the crude oils most under 100 or 1900, because if it go to 150 to 200, then
it's worse.
Then it's worse. It works because, the stock exchange will crash the price of the price of the oils goes up. You know, Trump is very smart. And this is where most people, they don't understand him.
Yeah.
When he was saying, no, if the Iranians are not opening the Strait of Hormuz, then he is going to bomb one of their electrical infrastructure. And then I think he was told that, look, hey, the market is crashing and the price of oil is going up. And that's when he said, okay, I will hold it for 5 days. It wasn't because there was a talk like he's saying. They completely, there's no talk there. The Iranians, they say they don't want to talk to him.
It's economic pressure.
And then they are saying, yeah, the Iranians, they are, it's now two form of war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that one of the economic is very, very, very sad.
Yeah, it's painful. It's painful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much painful. And that's the reason.
Okay, let's.
You know these warmongers of this, the Lindsey Grahams and the John Boltons. Apparently, we can do it. We have done the Hiroshima's. When somebody's talking about like that, and this is a senator, USA senator, is talking about something like that. He's talking about the Hiroshima. He's talking about when the Americans went and bombed Japan.
Yeah.
The nuclear bomb. That is what he's talking about. But I think the Chinese and the Russians, they said that. You can't do that.
You cannot cross that line.
You will also retaliate.
It's not only going to damage the, I think the image, it's also the objective of war too. Because, if you put something there, I think even the whole Middle East is also going to be in a shock.
Yeah, the umbrellas of securities from those GCC countries.
Mm. But
they've got holes. The Americans, they have promised them that they will protect them. So everything is going to change. They, you know, that some of the terms that the Iranians has put on the ground is that all the military installations of the Westerners must go.
And that's going to be very difficult also.
It is not going to be difficult.
No, I think
they
about,
have already lost Iraq. They have already lost Iraq.
No, even the military,
remember in year 2003 when the Americans went there, they even put that government there. And at the end of the day, when the war comes, that government is fighting with the Iranian militant. You see? And then right now there's a ceasefire. They agree on a ceasefire for NATO and the USA to completely withdraw. That agreement was agreed on yesterday, I think. You see, these guys are a little bit ahead of us when it comes to this.
Yeah.
But they have lost also Bahrain. And you need to understand that in Bahrain, that's where they were having the fifth fleet, the biggest army, the biggest navy armies in the Middle East.
No, it's tough out there.
It's tough. They have to go. They are going to be driven out.
And I also see in Afghanistan, apparently there was a request to say we want our base back, and then they say it's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
But okay, thank you. Let's listen to others. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. We listen to those who follow geopolitics. And we are saying geopolitics and economy is interlinked. The decision of politicians affect what to eat at home. You know, politicians are the most influential people. Don't just look at them like that. If they behave very well, the economies also behave very well. If they act within a short period of time and uncalculated, then the economy is also going to suffer. Because just one statement can take the country to war. And the same statement can also bring peace and prosperity. The same statement can also strike a deal. And the same statement can also build the country. That is why we must not only respect politicians, but we must also make sure that they are held accountable, particularly when they are acting on the interest of the people. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Shombe. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Please, thank you for the opportunity. If there is any distraction, please let me know.
Okay.
So, otherwise, how is the morning?
Well, the morning is under control.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Like the brother has said there.
Yeah.
So they are under economic and battlefront pressure.
Yeah.
And actually, in all the fronts, they are losing ground. Because if you follow, he has been saying he's winding up the wall, he's bugging down. The Iranian, he hopes the Iranian will agree on the negotiation and the key points, all those issues.
Mm.
And there at home is also having that big pressure now to resign or impeachment or changing of the constitution. There are a lot. He has got a lot. He has created so much enemy for himself.
But one thing you cannot take away from Trump is a risk taker.
He's a risk taker, but sometimes your risk must be well calculated.
Yeah, that one I can agree with you.
If he's not, then he's going to make a lot of blunder and cause more chaos. Now he's the one who has surrendered now. What is he going to do? Even at home, they're going to ask him, what happened to our children? Because a lot of soldiers from America have died. And remember, those military base in those countries, they were just targeted. No really civil casualties and all these things that you see, like the way he's doing, bombing in the school. Girls, school children, or what? And he has the way he was talking.
But do you think it's a good thing for a leader to admit a mistake and also realize to say, I'm backing down, or you think ego must just prevail?
What is it that should prevail?
Do you think it's a good thing for somebody to realize that I think I made a mistake here, I'm losing a lot of numbers, then calm down, rather than saying just, okay, let's bomb and defeat?
Oh. My friend, you have already acknowledged. If you cannot acknowledge your mistake and the wrongdoing,
because there is one thing which let's have a short break, then we come back.
Okay.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle.
Yes?
Yeah, what I was saying is that you were asking a question, a very important one. That is, it's not that easy to acknowledge and all these things, but you know, it takes some courage, that those negative and positive courage combined. Otherwise, you'll be there now until because if the generals are already complaining, and the general of Trump, they are complaining seriously. So what prevents them to retaliate against him?
Because the fight was more, as they are saying, is for Israel's safety and all these things. But there is one thing which I wanted to say, if USA want to destroy Iran, if it was a direct threat, it can do that, but it will be the last war. It will not recover from that.
Because they have
all the weapons in the world, advanced military. But if they have to go in there, they will win, and it's going to be a pyrrhic victory to say it's going to be your last war. Then you come out maybe with 5 soldiers.
Then you lose
your status of a superpower again.
Especially if they want to go on ground battle.
Yeah.
And remember, and I've been saying so also, because the strategy that the Iranians and all those Middle East countries, even Afghanistan there, so the strategy they use, not the one that America will use. They will just go and destroy things there, or even if you use those kind of bombs, but in terms of airspace, they have dominance in that. Nobody can argue about it. They
and the balance is not the same. If somebody who is attacking and somebody who is defending himself, you can just see that it's not the same
not
weight.
At all.
Yeah,
because those ones are in the combat, they are in ambush, especially if they come on the ground. you discover a lot of things. And many, you see the brother, many people, the soldiers are also treating. But if they come in that manner, or that one already, they know the wounds. So, but the good thing is that now it's bound down.
Mm.
And that is the wish of each and everyone.
Yes.
Obviously, the dollar will crumble if things go unchecked.
We are also suffering.
Yes, we are. We are going to suffer, but we are going to strengthen our currency also. So, especially, this is also opportunity for BRICS and many other countries to join. Mm-hmm. Already, even countries in Europe now, they are also forming their own alliance, mm-hmm. apart from America now, or even NATO itself. So these are issues that are going to really affect, and the global peace obviously will be realized out of these things,
mm-hmm.
out of these things. And I know it's not the expense of the people. This morning you were saying people have sacrificed.
Mm.
And what?
Mm.
The Iranians, they have sacrificed for their sovereignty and independence.
Mm.
So they are more patriotic. So, and this, for example, like in Namibia now, we can also be patriotic to wage the poverty war.
Poverty war has been waged already. We are in the battle, but we are not coordinating. You guys are not giving us ammunition.
Yes, you are right. Yeah. When it comes to coordination,
there's not enough ammunition to fight poverty. To say we are on the battleground, but we just have bows and arrows.
I think from today, from now on, we are now going to make sure that we are well equipped.
Yeah.
Our weapons are well strategically positioned.
Yeah.
And then we make sure that the coordination, because the coordination of institutions and their energy, their effort and resources, is wastage.
And I think in the war against poverty, the best weapon that we have so far is education. To say maybe those are our drones that we are using to fight poverty. But in that context also there is always a question of the quality and coordination also of institutions, private and but I think we are getting there. The war is still on.
If you look at the goals, the main goals of education, the quality is one of them. Access and all this democracy, and we make sure that our democracy must fit our own characteristics, like let Dr. Hage Benkop say always, let his soul rest in peace. So it says we can be equipped and make sure that all the institutions are well integrated, even their coordination mechanism.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm done.
Yes, in conclusion.
Oh, yeah, never example, because you just brought the issue of coordination. Now we are talking about the serious weapon now.
Yeah, you will still come back. I want us to go to our guest.
Let me end up here. We continue as they stand.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. After a short commercial break, we'll be in conversation with Rinekera Hamtuma, especially to answer the question, why do you give a tender to somebody who doesn't have a capacity to build? What is the necessity of project management? And why does it matter? Especially in Namibia, across all the fields, to say why somebody who has soft skill must learn project management, and what are the key things of a successful project manager, especially in the time where we complain more, especially when it comes to White Elephant Project, to say why a White Elephant Project standing, costly, ineffective, unproductive, but it has cost a lot of money. So let's go to a short commercial break, then we can continue.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuwana kono nongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda doinawa nuneudo otukwetera o special angeta shake ngejepa omarudi dayoloka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile komberewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of economic development. We are looking at issues that affect our bread and butter. At the center of national developmental programs is project management. We have been seeing complaints about white elephant projects, and we are always indicating to say a successful country that is more advanced is the one which has capacity to manage and also to find its project to its final conclusion. And this morning, we are very happy to be joined in the studio by Rinekera Hamtumwa. He's a project management practitioner spanning over 10 years in various fields. And today, we are going to discuss the aspect of project management, the necessity of it, and also cutting across various fields. Rinekera Hamtumwa, thank you very much for joining us at Early Morning Scoop. And how is the morning?
Thank you, David, for having me. The morning is okay.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a bit of colder weather, but it's okay.
Yes, let's start with it. You know, as a project management practitioner, before we go to the context of Namibia, how did the field of project management evolve over the years, particularly in Namibia? What is new? What is new in the field, and also what phased out, and also what are some of the development?
Okay, well, the project management field is not new to Namibia per se.
Yeah.
But there has been a bit of traction. I mean, we now have a Namibian chapter with the Project Management Institute,
yeah.
And that is very big for the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, the chapter just recorded that Namibia has reached the 200 mark of certified and qualified project managers within the country, and
yeah.
They are certified by the Project Management Institute. So that is very big. And I mean, as the country is developing, you'll see that there's a need for more project managers or people with project management experiences within various fields.
Mm-hmm. Yes, looking into that context, you know, there have been a debate in the public platform to say, you know, Namibians, we are very good at drafting policies. We are very good with drafting institutional strategic plan or action plan, but we really find it very difficult to accomplish or to implement those plans. And why is it difficult? Why do we have a lot of white elephant projects? Why do we have a lot of going back and forth? Either it's state-driven project or we have a private project. Why is that?
Well, it's It's related to a number of factors.
Yeah.
But where project management is involved is understanding basically the strategy that you are following and the idea of project management and every project that a project manager is involved in is to provide value to the end user, generally your client, but looking at the national development plans, it's looking at the nation as a whole. So why projects fail, it's really depending on a number of factors, but looking at the component of project management and where accountability comes in, it's just understanding that communication and reporting mechanism, monitoring and evaluation where projects are involved is very key in how we manage projects. That you could not have elephant projects like you mentioned, that just become elephant projects. There needs to be a robust accountability and monitoring and evaluation where national development projects are involved. And you can see this. I mean, the NDP 6 now has a particular component, you know, where it speaks of a project management approach to NDP 6. So where it wasn't there before, it is becoming a critical issue where policy implementers are seeing the need for it. And it being part of the NDP 6 is a big way forward for how national development plans are constituted and are managed and reported accordingly. I mean, the NDP 6 also talks about how the national development plans needs to cascade into institutional plans, which is your various governments. Now, it also speaks of, you know, that to ensure full implementation, that every year in October, the NPC will assist the various ministries to produce business plans. Now, if you're looking at it from a project management perspective, there needs to be planning beforehand. We cannot be waiting for August.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Beforehand, we cannot be waiting for August to come, and this is when we want to cascade this institutional plan. From now, you already set a plan way forward as to how you can achieve this. And how you're going to achieve it, and the various stakeholders that you actually need within the project pipeline in order to achieve some of the targets that are required.
Now, looking at the development of project management, because we want to get into details of it, especially when it comes to, you know, cutting across various fields. You know, when we started, when we seeing academic institutions bring about these courses of project management, we also started seeing various fields getting involved. Beforehand, we only thought project management was only for construction, railway construction, you know, having a site on it. But as a project management practitioner or expert, because you've been around for quite some time now, in that area, how does the skill of project management assist other fields? We can speak about medicine, we can speak about law, and, you know, many other fields apart from technical areas.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Like you said, at some point in time, project management was only categorized for one specific field. But you are seeing it now in various fields, like you mentioned. So why is important? I mean, the project project management methodologies and principles are the same. They cut across various careers and various fields.
Mm-hmm.
I can give an example of in the health sector, for instance.
Yeah.
If the ministry is rolling out a polio vaccination like they recently did,
mm-hmm.
they need to have need to assess how mm-hmm. many regions are they doing it in a phased approach. What is the budget allocation? What is the resources? How is the communication channels going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, in that you can use it in the health sector for an instance like that. Coming from my industry, which is consulting,
mm-hmm.
we deal with a lot of various projects.
Mm-hmm.
So it's assisting institutions to, cut across some of the projects that they put within their strategic plans
mm.
and seeing them come to life. So we assist working closely with various institutions that you've set this project in your let's say your 5-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
How then can you achieve that project mm. from a consultancy point of view?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at what is the scope, mm. what is the budget? Who are the stakeholders involved? Mm-hmm. And then we assist, you know, throughout the project life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that with project management in any field that you are, mm-hmm. there's the principle of creating value, the mm-hmm. principle of managing resources, finances, and time,
mm-hmm.
and most importantly, accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you speak about accountability, before we go to young professionals and also how they should look into that, I want you to give me, through your experience, what are some of contributing factors? I know we spoke a little bit about this, but what are some of the contributing factors to project complete project failures? Is it accountability? Is it finance not enough, or people do not understand project management completely? Or what is really the cause of that, particularly from your experience?
Yeah, that could differ from project to project, but you do find instances where the scope that was set out is not realistic to the project that once you are on the ground, for instance.
Mm.
I could give an example in construction.
Mm.
The local authority might have earmarked a specific piece of land to build houses, you know, for mm. example.
Mm-hmm.
They put out the tender, they get the contractors, and then contractors submit the you know, through the tender process, and mm. you know, the contractor is selected.
Mm.
Only then for the contractor to start the work,
yeah,
to actually get on the piece of land, and you see that it's not feasible
mm.
for land development.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so those could be some of the factors. On stage, you know, clear assessment is perhaps not done,
mm-hmm.
depending from project to project, or sometimes you actually find that you can want to do a project based on the scope that you are given, but the scope is not aligned to the actual work that the project can facilitate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now let us look at the future. We are in a good era. I'm calling it a good era because we are in the time of business unusual, and you really see that majority of the ministers, they have hands on projects. I want to look at the future of Namibian young people. You once spoke at the Career Expo. It's a very brilliant speech. I think I still have it, especially speaking to students and young professionals. In that context, you spoke about the necessity of the skills gain from project management skills. Now, how do you think this should be integrated? Because, as you stated, that is needed by almost all the professionals. How do you explain that, looking at people studying at university but in different fields, where do they meet, especially if they want to be expert or they want to be equipped in project management skills?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, and it's also why I spoke to the students, you know, to bring project management to their, let's say, top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You can study project management as a career. Mm-hmm. You know, you could start it from undergrad all the way to master's and PhD. I'm not aware of a lot of PhD holders in project management, but you can study it from until master's level.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to the component where students or, let's say, early people in their careers are always advised to take up soft skills, you know, data coding, data analysis, financial management, you know, pick up soft skills that can add value to the career or even to the position that you take. And I'm of the belief that project management is one of those soft skills that can also set students apart.
Maybe just last three with the change in terms of technology, what assistance or what development brought by technology that can make the use of project management or make the field of project management easy, if I have to look into that?
Yeah, the project management can coincide with the advance in technology.
Mm.
We also need to understand that some of the technology systems that are being put out there have probably been project management before we are even aware of them. You see,
okay.
It's understanding, you know, when you get into a system that there are critical steps where technology is involved. When do you roll it out? How do you roll it out?
Mm.
And addressing key milestones where development is involved is critical to project management.
Yes, just the last question. I'm always interested, particularly when you see somebody who is in that field of project management and complete a project so successfully. But my question is that how do you deal with people of different background, because, you know, when there are people of different expertise, there is always conflict. But as a project manager, maybe, how do you deal with difficulties, particularly coordinating this whole thing, complication of finance, planning, monitoring and evaluation and all these things? Maybe what are some of the skills that you really say assisted you in dealing with such, you know, various people?
Yeah, you cannot work on a project in isolation, and that is the honesty of it.
Mm.
It's one of the key skills that requires robust team coordination and stakeholder management. Now, as you mentioned, you are dealing with a lot of cultural backgrounds and just different people, but one of the skills is really emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to deal with people in a very professional manner,
mm-hmm.
but understanding that cultural and educational background plays a role in how people view things and how they reason.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to balance a lot of things at one. Like in one go,
mm-hmm.
and people being some of them, and things with project management is that the aspect of accountability also requires that you are working along with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if the project is failing, things mm-hmm. like that needs to be communicated accordingly,
mm-hmm.
and your end user needs to be aware that a project is failing. A project can just not fail and the project manager is quiet. That is not effective project management. But along the project life cycle, there are key communication and milestones that are critical reporting platforms, that it's continuous engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So emotional intelligence is key, and communication, just the practice of communication is key to project management.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Negroham Tumwa, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And thank you for your time and input. And we hope we continue building Namibia. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David, for having me. It was a very insightful conversation.
All right, chop chop.
Yeah, that is Negroham Tumwa. He's a project management practitioner. Spoke on various factors of project management, the importance of coordination, communication, and also planning, especially when it comes to project management. There's always a case of a white elephant project. And if you go and research the origin of a white elephant project, you start laughing. You realize that in Thailand, the monarch used to buy or even gifted, this so rare white elephants. It's a sign of wealth and power. But when times goes, realizing that this thing is eating more from the pocket than its productivity, to say you just keep it there, it's not useful. And it's also not being able to bring about anything. And it's become so white to that extent that it's not able to bring you anything. That's why the concept of project management came in, and to say the education system really evolved. We used to see project managers from far, but now everybody needed that skill. So that's why you sometimes get so amazed to see an individual who coordinate, 50 people of different professions, different qualification and different background to achieve a common good. And also communication matters, even if things are failing. That is what Rinekera has stated. That's why at one point she spoke to the students and also young professionals, indicate that if you want to have a competitive advantage, you need to look at that area. Let's go to commercial break and come back.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Bentuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite ofoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushe indike nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM, let's you express your constitution.
Yeah, from that skill of project management, there is coming news here, especially from international news, indicating that is the explosion in Port Arthur in Texas. This is in the United States of America. And, you know, that is also showing an oil refinery burning in the United States of America. And international analyst, it's a recent incident at the refinery. International analyst asking to say, is Iran at home, at the back door of the U.S., or is just a coincidence? And there's still an investigation on local media, particularly from the United States, to see what is causing this, flame at the refinery. And if you look at Al Jazeera and also other international news platform, you'll be able to see what is happening. And, it's to say, are they playing a long chess game or just a coincidence? Are the Iranians already here? Yes, it has been predicted, or is just another coincidence, or is just a free drift fire? Yes, it has been stated. But there is a lot of development happening. And to say, really, the politics of politicking and also politics of the economy can put human beings in trouble. Even those who are caught by, wrong bullets. And in this time, wrong bullets are not only the one coming from the gun, but also that coming from economic impact. And looking at the skill of project management, one must really be able to say that it's high time that those with a reputation of completing projects and tenders must be acknowledged, and also teach others, and also to teach others from joined from subcontractors to a real standing business. Because you only find Namibian businesses which has been subcontracting all the years, but due to lack of that technical capacity and also those skills, then it's taking more time for them to be standing businesses. Let's just look at the caller and move on. Good morning.
Oh, David.
Uncle.
Good morning once more again. But why was I still listening to your previous caller?
Come again.
The caller before me.
Yeah.
And I was listening when you get connected to Linekera.
Yeah.
Madam Linekera there.
Mm.
And I realized that after a long process, when you were now about to come to the conclusion, I lost you, and it was only now the previous caller whom I followed when I called this morning that you're talking.
Are you using an app?
Yes.
Just restart it. I think sometimes you just need to you need to refresh it. But the communication is fine, right? Yeah.
The rest, I listened to from the beginning, I think for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the conclusion I didn't hear. But let's now, this is what we're also talking about.
Yeah.
When you brought in the concept of coordination.
Yeah.
And we were saying that, yes, it's true, because our coordination should be in it must be integrated. So because that will help to for us to not to waste resources or do some kind of duplication.
Yeah.
Because when we look at the strategic plans and all those documents,
yeah,
many a times they are also aligned to the NDP and other national, those frameworks.
Yeah.
So now if we cannot, because for us, every institution, those OMAs,
yeah,
they should find a way to get into the existing structure of those different various institutions. So in terms of construction, in terms of any other activity that's budgeted for, so that, because I know many a times those people, they have got the same like we were talking about poverty. Poverty is a cost-cutting issue. Each and everyone has to, make effort to alleviate poverty.
But if you have a national program on alleviation of poverty, what make you lose if you also have resources?
Perhaps it's,
do you know that at one point we had the Ministry of Poverty Eradication, right? Who was managing those projects? Because the issue was to make sure that, okay, this is how you eradicate poverty. Do you eradicate poverty by giving food to people, or do you eradicate poverty by teaching people how to make their own food?
Yeah, listen, if you talk about home gardening or gardening,
I'm just trying to challenge the activities.
Understand.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. I'm getting you. The activity that people should implement, since we said poverty is a cross-cutting issue, which is a baby for each and every institution, then we should able to make sure that we create not only giving forms or grants or whatever. You teach people how to catch fish. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And many ministries, like the Ministry of Gender, for example, where I have been.
Yeah.
So they have that, we make it a mandatory that each and every budget, national budget, should include this gender responsive budgeting and planning.
But were you also not taking the finance back?
Maybe it could be perhaps because of maybe
No, I just want the answer to say, did the ministry also took some budget back, some money back?
Okay, okay. So that could be because the explanation was also given. I remember many other ministry were giving the same explanation, which I also think that it's supposed to be addressed in terms of capital projects, for example.
Yeah, I want to say, if somebody say you stole sugar, you cannot say, no, David also took and Helmut. Let's move on.
Let's just coordinate our efforts properly.
Okay.
And then we make sure that, because some of the, let's say, gender planning and budgeting, it's mandatory to all the ministries. Anything, because poverty, you need to create some kind of income generating activity. I always ask people now, like, if you want to come up with your project, now we are hearing this kind of education. Now, can't you also then say, fine, our people are also making shoes, leather shoes, and the gardening, and all these things, saloon, and all these things. And I believe those people, they have employed a lot of people. Don't even talk about income generating activities. So, but every ministry should have that. So they coordinate, if the budget for that ministry, say, for example, of gender, I'm not speaking on their behalf.
I want to ask, do we have effective project managers in our offices of governance who coordinate regional?
We don't.
At a constituency, do you also have somebody who can really manage?
There might be a few of them, like the number was mentioned, there is a lot of them. I'm not so sure whether within the government structure, for example, or many institutions, I know some institutions, they have those proposition in their structures and things like that. But like we said now, you know where I came to learn the project management? At the master level. So now when you look at the school now, the curriculum and all these other things, entrepreneurship may be there, this commerce and things like that, you know. Understand, but project management. Even there was a call that was made by a student from VTC, I think Windhoek Professional Training, and he said, "Please, can you in this radio here many times? Can they please bring in this the model of project management? So when we go out, we are able to manage so that we don't leave, waste resources. And then the project cycle. So that you make sure that where is it that this energy or resources is really needed. And some of these duplication, like I talked about, they happen in many institutions also. This one is giving this other one. This one is giving this other one. Of course, you need to align your budget to those priority activities. So, but we're not finished talking about it, but I'm also saying that we also have a national, you know, national coordination mechanism, gender national coordination mechanism, which is also populated to all the ministry. And many other institutions may have those things within your policy, within yours, and say now, what is it that we are doing that the Ministry of Disarmament is doing and things like that? So I think they can coordinate properly. So thank you, David, for granting me an opportunity.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, we are moving forward. That question of white elephant, to say white elephant started with a good intention to say it's honor and respect, but it started to be there absorbing just food, and the monarch realized to say, no, no, this thing is just a white elephant project, a white elephant, and it's unproductive, it's not effective, and you must work on it. And also to say, you know, when I was at Swissfontein, I've seen the guy, John Swanepoel. It's a farm and a project manager, and you get so surprised when he is explaining. He knows all the details. He knows all the people that are working under him by names. He knows where each materials are. He knows where every tractor is. He knows the budget by head. And I was asking myself to say, how come you come to this point? He speak about experience. And you don't know him. He's a guy who was managing a farm between one of the biggest farm between Tsumeba. You know, when you go to Otavi, from Oshiwarongo to Tsumeba, where you buy your maize. He was the manager of that farm and operating from Swissfontein. I'm asking a question to say, how come you know all these things? Then he said it's a skill of project management. That him is just learning, even in the way. And you get so impressed to say, if you know the details of everything that you're working with, know the time, the finance and everything, then it's good. Let's look at,
Your bank would never ask for your login details. Never share your login credentials, password or PIN. Call 0612991200 to report fraud. Bank Windhoek, a member of Capricorn Group.
Eshi wataloko umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Uya ita kwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kava uchako ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe dana mibia oshipu nengono landoka shako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi Longwashe, de to SMSO Shicha, instant. Totumu kombali, o neveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, o tali kulmo milongo natunali mwe amaricha, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, o do dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of its staff. The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401. And you ask yourself a question to say, why a teacher need to know project management? Why a principal need to know project management? Because project management does not differentiate either it's a very small project or it's a bigger project. As long as you know those basics, you can be able to achieve what you want to achieve. And look at the records of Central Procurement Board. Be able to realize that the last time I checked, there was a 50-50. There was a progress of 50%. There was a challenge of 50% of project. You see, you look at those records, you realize to say there is a lot of things that that are making it very difficult for project to be completed. There are still projects that have been in the pipeline for the past 10 years.
There are still reasons for that. Then the question is that why can this not be seen in initial phase? And why were we so surprised when China built the state of the art hospital for 10 days? In 10 days, COVID-19 was brutally killing people in China. And the authority gave a directive to say, by next week, we want a standing hospital with a capacity of thousands of beds and facilities. These guys understand their assignments, because that of who is given that responsibility understand that he is a project head. He has project coordinators within, his system. Everything is flowing like a machine. And I think we should also look into the issue of Namibia bureaucracy, to say for you to get a tender, what you need. For you to complete a project, what you need. How is the process? How many people do you need to report to? What are the contradiction? Why people enter the business correctly, but when it comes to finalization of the project, everybody is at court. Can we also look at the aspect of the laws that are governing the operation of business in Namibia? Can they also be the barriers to the achievement of our intended goals? So yeah, that is what is happening. And also looking at international news, apart from refinery burning in Texas now, currently as you are speaking, there's a lot of developments. Seems like there's a lot of pressure. Seems like the Iraqi militia groups have agreed 24 hours ceasefire, where the US and NATO troops are withdrawing from Victoria Base in Baghdad, and to say Iraq is also on fire. That's why Iran has their proxies along. But it's a very interesting, not really interesting, but it's also a threatening threat coming from the Houthi militia in Yemen. And understand that this fight in the Middle East is connected. And there is a group of Houthi in Yemen that is indicating that if US continue attacking Iran, particularly looking at that aspect of Strait of Hormuz, they have rockets. They're indicating that they also closed down the Strait of Baba el Mandeb. That is another critical choke point of transportation, with a trade of 10 to 12% of international maritime commerce. And if that is closed, then the global energy supply, trade supply, communications, things will be stopped, especially from that area of the Middle East. Because if you look at this trade, realize that it's not only the Strait of Hormuz. The Middle East is full of critical global trade routes, and the entrance to the Red Sea, that is between the Middle East and Africa, that is what the Houthi are planning to cross down. So we are just going to shut down everything, especially from that. And remember that the Houthis are controlling northeast of Red Sea, indicated that they are also going to cross that corridor, especially if the Western state continue to, to strike Iran, Lebanon, and Palestine. And you really realize to say this is turning into a regional war, and maybe it's one of the reasons that US decided to say no. Let's pull out a little bit and look at moving forward. Because with the advancement in technology, you also see a lot of equipment being shot down from air. realize to say Iran is not alone. We don't know who is behind. Don't want to predict who is behind. Or maybe it's Iran is a hidden superpower too. And if this escalate could really be devastating, we are going back to 1930, particularly to the global economic collapse. But let's hope what has been stated is going to be resolved amicably on that ground. And just to look at the conclusion for today, especially in the aspect of project management, to say how many of SME operators are willing to learn, how many of small business people are willing to learn new skills, how many of them are willing to improve, especially their sales. You can also speak about you know, the way they negotiate. You can also speak about the way they plan. You can also speak about the way they engage. Because when education is stated to be the key, business operation, particularly from small business operators, need the learning every day. How many people are attending not only mentorship events, but also learning from the best? Because education is a greater skill that can not only fight poverty, I can also be able to build institutions. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to continue. And also, we have enough time to transfer the mic to the big mic. But let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll be able to continue the conversation. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. And also to ask yourself a question to say, in the world of global, in the world of unpredictability, are you still going to be a complainant, or you are still going to be a change you want to see? Because there are those who are complaining, climate change, war in the Middle East, war in the Middle East. But what were you doing even before there is war in the Middle East? We like blaming situations too, but what can we do within our control? So,
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwa Tafanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatuimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
we are moving forward. We are moving forward with early morning scoop. It's 57 minutes. 56 minutes past the hour of 7. And looking at that context, it's also a matter of asking to say, how is the budget appropriation bill, when it's going to be finalized? Is it brought to the final conclusion, particularly in terms of resource distribution? Is it brought to the final conclusion what was ended, and also what was removed. And also to look into, I was looking on social media yesterday. Then I see Ogete Amahai going to Parliament. And really listening to this, the guy has been around for a long time. It's a local musician. Cannot deny that. But when you are listening to what he is saying, you realize to say, you get content to say, somebody who is asking to say, I want to see the fruits of my country, at least to get a place to stay. You realize to say, some of these guys, when we in Oshakati, they used to come and perform in front of us, and you realize to say, you know, some of these people should continue to be upgraded. Should be continue to be upgraded because there is still stamina in them. People are just not guided. And it will also tell you a lot about our creative sector. To say, we may speak about our good intention with creative sector, but are we really doing what it needs to be done? Especially when it comes to creative industry. Because musicians, so you see them dancing on stage, but the question that you're asking is that what is the sustainability of this? What is the sustainability of this musician? Are we still appreciating their talent? What is the authority saying? And we should also look at, I think it's a responsibility not only of Shitana who is in Parliament, but also other younger people to say, what can you do to that creative sector, particularly Namibian musicians. We spoke of good intention. We debated about them. We clap hands. But are we seeing that materializing? Yes, we see them performing at Independence Day. But is this all of them? Do we look at what we do after that? Are we just still waiting for 26 August so that they can come and perform? Or we are coming up with other platform that can incorporate them? Then you realize to say, we really have a lot of things to do. Especially in that sector, because the creative sector will not go away. Once you are depressed, once you need the moral support, you turn into that music that is assisting you. But you ask yourself, what condition is that person who is taking more effort to bring about this music? But I think that is need to be looked at. The bringing Ogete Amahai closer to Parliament, I think is a good thing. People must listen and see. We should not only say creative industry. We must do what creative industry need to get. So, this will bring us to the end of our conversation. And I will leave in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. From me, David Shombe. See you around. Bye-bye. And sharp.